our daily living. Every day we need to enjoy Christ as our life, and we need to honor our Christ as our head. And every one of us have this responsibility to build this wall, to give the city of God or the kingdom of God have protection and have separation.
Amen. I remember when I was going through this for the first time, when I heard this, I just felt like, wow, this actually confirms so much of my experience, what I've seen in my limited time on this earth. It's really wonderful that we can go over such a speaking. Because, you know, in the church, we speak a lot about the enjoyment and the experience of Christ, as we should. We should be speaking about that all the time. But it's easy to think that that's the only aspect of our Christian life. Like, all we have to do is enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Just be happy all the time. But an even deeper level is that actually God has a government, God has a headship, God has a kingdom that He wants to establish on the earth. Even Ephesians 1:10 shows us that everything that God is doing is so that He can head up all things in Christ, to make Him the head over all things. And of course, that does involve us receiving His life and enjoying Him, but that's not the primary matter. The primary matter is that He would be the head, and that we would be under His headship. I really love the picture, as I was considering, like, the picture in Ezra and Nehemiah. It's like they returned to the land, they rebuilt the temple, the altar, the temple, they did all these different things, but then suddenly in the beginning of Nehemiah, the house is just destroyed. Everything is, it's like their work was just, like, undone. The reason why is because they didn't have any protection. They didn't have a wall around the house. I just really love this picture because it confirms so much of what I myself have experienced, where, yes, I'm enjoying the Lord so much, like I'm with the saints, but as soon as something happens, like, my enjoyment just goes down the drain. It's like, what happened? It's because I didn't have any protection. The enemy could just creep right in and then just destroy everything that I have. So it just shows that without the city, without the wall, the kingdom as the protection, our enjoyment of Christ, the house of God, is so vulnerable, so easily attacked by the enemy. And the Lord knows this, Satan knows this, so this is something that we need to pay a lot of attention to. As I was considering this, I remembered this matter of, like, in our relationship with the Lord, there's this aspect, like, in our consecration to the Lord, there's two main aspects. There is the reason why we give ourselves to the Lord, our motivation, and then there's the basis of that consecration. And this is somewhat related to what I'm talking about here. The motive of our consecration is that we love the Lord. We give ourselves to Him because we recognize how much He loves us and that we love Him back. So that is very much a matter of our enjoyment. We love the Lord, so we give ourselves to Him. But that, our feeling of love towards the Lord is very, like, unstable. One day we could be feeling great, the next day we'll feel horrible. So the Lord's basis of our relationship with Him is not our feeling or our enjoyment. It's because of the fact that He purchased us. It's the fact. It's the fact that we are bought by Him, that He is our Master, that He is our King and our Lord. So there's two aspects. One is our enjoyment and our love, and the other is the headship. We're under Him, as we're His slaves, where He's our King, all these different things. And this doesn't just apply to our relationship with the Lord. This applies to every relationship we have, even like the marriage, I'm not married, but in the marriage relationship, our family, our relationship with the saints. I think Brother Lee mentions in the portions, one day we can be like, we could love the brothers and sisters so much, but then one day one person just offends me or says, I've been offended. Everyone here has been offended at least once or twice in their church life. But it's like, am I going to let that offense cut off my relationship with that particular saint? If I only depend on, yes, I just wanted to be here for my enjoyment, I love the saints, then yeah. If I only care about my enjoyment, then that relationship can get attacked. But if I recognize, no, I'm in the kingdom of God, I'm under the headship of Christ, whether or not I like this brother or sister or not, I am under God's headship. And so therefore I still have to remain in fellowship and hopefully restore that relationship as well. But this just shows that there's another level that the Lord is kind of calling us to in our experience with Him, that we would not just only care about our enjoyment, even our love for the Lord, but that we would recognize that He is the head, that He is the one, He is our Master, He is our King, He is our Lord, He is our head, all of these different things. So I'm just praying, like, Lord, as Brother Kyle mentioned, this is for every single one of us to build up the wall. Every single one of us has to be under the headship of Christ. If even one of us is not under the headship of Christ, there's a breach that the Lord can come, that the enemy can come into. So anyways, I'm just praying that the Lord would really, His hand would follow this word and really bring us into this experience.
Amen. So this morning we're fighting to enter into this, message. So what we need to do is be strong in our spirit.
Amen.
And release the spirit that's in us.
Amen.
So we have each one of us, before we can declare to Satan, I gained something of the Lord this week. Right? You can't say I didn't gain anything. Did you call on the Lord this week? Yes, you did. That shows, that proves, that's a proof, that's a declaration, that's an announcement. And the Lord will honor that. He'll say yes, that you gained something. So to fight, to open up the message, we use the word, and we have to release something within us that we gained. We have to release our spirit. And we have a strong standing because we can, by faith. So we live by faith. It's by faith that we know we have something. Let me just share real. From the training, we found out that there's a divine realm, a divine and mystical realm, and there's also a physical realm. The physical realm is, firstly, it's physical. It's also objective. It's judicial. And it's earthly. So this morning, for example, the first step, this realm is something like an escalator. We have to go on the escalator to enjoy the Lord's redemption. We have a physical body, so we are physical. But it's like an escalator. We might want to get on the escalator to go, you know, up the stairs. So the goal is not to stay in the physical realm, but to go enter into the divine and the mystical realm. So the physical realm we certainly understand. What is the divine and mystical realm? So this morning we can use the items in the outline, for example, to enter into, to get on the escalator. So these points are like in the physical realm. They're just printed, they're the printed word. But as we want to use these to enter into the divine and the mystical realm, and that's the realm we want to be in. So what is the divine and mystical realm? Well, firstly, the divine and mystical realm is mystical. That means it's like the Gospel of John. Everything in the Gospel of John is mystical. It's mysterious because it's divine. It's not, the first three Gospels are physical. They're judicial. They're where the Lord's accomplishing redemption. But in the Gospel of John, it's in another realm. It's in the divine and mystical realm. So the divine and mystical realm is firstly mystical. Secondly, it's not objective. It's subjective. That's why we can say that we use these points, but then we also have to add the mystical part. We have to add to our speaking. We have to add our spirit, something that we've experienced of the Lord, and to enter into the divine and mystical realm. That's the organic, this realm, the divine and mystical realm, is also the organic realm. So the physical realm is the judicial realm. But the divine and mystical realm is the realm of life. It's the realm of life. So for example, if I fellowship with Brother Gene, we're talking, we're just talking. But then in our talking, we can enter into another realm, into the realm of fellowship. This is an organic realm, a realm of life. So this morning, we use these topics, we use these points to enter into this new realm. Let me just conclude this way. There's so much to say in these points. And it's such a separation and a protection. So the wall of the New Jerusalem is the work of the transforming spirit. So the wall is something in the divine and the mystical realm. It's not in the objective realm. It's in the subjective realm. It's in the realm of life. It's the organic realm. It's the realm, it's heavenly realm. It's not on the earth. It's heavenly. Anyway, so let me just say, I'd like to touch all six Roman numerals, but I'll just touch the first one. So let me just say this. The training had in the title, Until the Lord Returns. Until the Lord Returns. So we're in the, and it's also had in the title, The Lord's Recovery. So the books of Ezra and Nehemiah are books on the return of the captivity. So they get the children of Israel got captured. They got carried off because of their unfaithfulness. The Lord rose up. He let them be, they got carried off to Babylon, carried off to Syria, carried off to Egypt even. Anyway, the return, Ezra and Nehemiah are books on the return of some of those captives to Jerusalem. So the books of Ezra and Nehemiah typify the Lord's recovery today. They typify the Lord's recovery today. So these books, all these points concerning what's Ezra and Nehemiah, they're talking about us today. And they're not talking about us in the physical realm. They're talking about us in the divine and the mystical realm. So for example, talking about separation, the wall. What is the wall? The wall simply is the work of the Holy Spirit, the transforming work. Yes. And this built, it's, so we need to be in this realm to receive, to be enjoying the Spirit in His transforming work, to separate us from our very constitution. He separates us from the world by transforming us, because we have the nature of Satan within us. Not just outside of us, but within us. So He brings us into the divine and mystical realm, into the subjective realm, into the organic realm, to save us in our constitution, so that we can be separated from the old creation.
Amen.
And be the new creation. Anyway, there's so much to say in these Roman numerals. I just try to open it up that way. Let's add something. Okay.
really encouraged by Prabhupada sharing that in the past week we do have something in joy, we do have something we get from Christ, and it's our responsibility to speak out, right, to release the spirit, that to build up the church, to build up the wall. And this past week I really enjoyed the message that talking about we have the right of the sonship, and we all are the son of God. We have the right. Actually, we have the country. You know, yesterday I was looking for the travel insurance for Melody to, you know, for her flight, because nowadays too much crazy like delay or cancellation of flight. And when you look at the contract, if something happens, you can claim this. You can get reimbursed, right? You can get money from the insurance company. So according to the contract, she will have the right to claim, right? So according to the Bible, we didn't claim the sonship, right? We have the right. And today we can declare to Satan, right? We have the resurrection life. We don't need to remain in the realm of death. We can become the resurrection life. And 2 days ago, the small group meeting, we sing a couple of really wonderful hymns. And one of this is the Bible is a romance. And in this hymn, it talks about that God doesn't want us to only worship Him. Actually, He wants to marry us. He wants to have a counterpart. And verse 5, stanza 5 says, Christ is our coming bridegroom, and we are the church, His bride, redeemed, regenerated, and the issue of His sight, in source, in life, in nature, in person, fully one, His counterpart forever, the New Jerusalem. And we also mentioned that in order for the Lord to marry us, we need to match Him, right? We need to be one with the Lord. And, you know, I was pondering at this matter, how do we really be one with the Lord? It's kind of hard, because He is God, He's perfect, He's blameless. He doesn't have any, you know, sins, any negative side, but we are fallen people. How do we really be one with Him? And in this message, I realized that the Lord actually, He make us an example. Like, amen. God sent His beloved Son as a man. He sent Him as a man, and He lived 33 and a half years on the earth to set an example for us. And God wants to have this kind of people, just like Lord Jesus, without blemish. How does he deal with those people accusing Him? How does He have the relationship with all these sinners, all these people on the earth? He has perfect humanity. And the Lord, God wants us to be like Him, to be one with Him in this way. And we are not only just outwardly mimicking what the Lord has done on the earth, right? Instead, He became a life-giving spirit. And the only thing we need to do in order for us to be one with Him is to receive the Holy Spirit. So in order for us to claim the right, to claim the privilege, to claim everything in God already prepared for us, just simply receive the Holy Spirit. So this week I really encourage that in order to match Him, in order to be one with Him, we just need to take courage and claim the right of Son of God. Receive the Holy Spirit that God already prepared for us.
Amen.
Amen. I enjoy that point very much about that we have the right. Then, during the messages of the training, I really went back to the conclusion that our brother Ron gave. And he gave a word about that, said that we have the right. But, you know, in Revelation, I can't remember the verse. It says, blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have right to the tree of life. Mm-hmm. Right? Blessed are those who wash their robes, that we have the right, but we have to wash our robes. We have to be those that are willing to cooperate with Him, and that we would ask the Lord to give us a vision. And a vision is an extraordinary scene. Right? It requires sight. It requires light. And so we need to be serious with the Lord. And so, you know, our brother, you know, brought forth many verses in Revelation that we are becoming the New Jerusalem, and that the bride is the New Jerusalem. And we see in Revelation 19:7, it says, let us rejoice and exult. Let us give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and Amen. His wife has made herself ready. Right? And we see that in Revelation 21, 9 and 10, you know, the angel comes to John and says, come here, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in spirit unto a great and high mountain. Right? And so the New Jerusalem is the bride, and it is a corporate person. And he proceeded to speak. I was very touched by the characteristics of the bride. So the bride is, number one, she's mature, fully developed, and has entered into this realm. And here's the point. Years and years before, she's the bride, you know, experientially. She's the part of a corporate building. She has been experienced for so many years in training, and she surely has been building the wall. And so her garments are the righteousnesses in plural, which is, he said, was the daily God-man living in which the spirit within her as life and everything is expressed in her daily living. By so many of these righteousnesses. You know, her wedding dress, this is her uniform, you know, to fight. You know, she's beautiful by her living. Her beauty is Christ Himself reproduced in her. And she's experienced in spiritual warfare, you know, and she has to be deified. So she is being deified. And what is happening to us today is that we are being deified. And so one aspect that hopefully I can find it, you know, he says that we really need to be prepared for Him to come back, for Him to have something to come back forth, right? The Lord needs to shine into our being, you know, that we can realize what the Lord is doing today. So every day in our daily living, you know, these experiences that we have, you know, as time goes by and days go by, we really see that, you know, the pressures in us are even, you know, more and more. But if we realize what the Lord is doing, you know, He's working Himself into us. He's building Himself into our being. He's growing in us so that we can become transformed, building us day by day so that we can become the New Jerusalem. And many, you know, he says this all the time in every meeting, it's not too late for anyone, but it's not too soon either for those that are the youngest one. And we need to ask the Lord to take us onto the stage of maturity. We need to cry out to the Lord, Lord, cause me to grow in a normal way, little by little, you know, and so, you know, cooperate with Him. And he asked this question, you know, what aspect of God's divinity did I participate in today? Oh, Lord, unto becoming the New Jerusalem. So this matter is a daily, daily matter. And so it isn't too late and it isn't too soon, but we need to realize, you know, and everything that happens to us, you know, that this is what the Lord is doing, that He's dealing with us, that we have the right, but we have the right. We have to wash our robes every day, every single day. We have to see, recognize what the Lord is doing in every aspect of our living, in every circumstances within us.
Amen. Amen. Following our sister's sharing, yes, we need to grow unto maturity. This is very much related to this week's message. I feel like, you know, if we're still a baby, we would not really sense any imminent danger or imminent attack from the Satan. We would probably not even think about we need a wall, right? You know, everything's happy. This morning I saw Grace with Mary. She's like, yeah, I mean, she's happy, right? Anytime when she has a need, there is mom, dad, grandpa, grandma around, right? Nothing to worry about. Just, you know, whenever she has a need, just cry out, right? Or speak out. I don't know if she started speaking yet. Probably not. So it is really, you know, we certainly, right, really need to grow in life. To be able to really know the desire, but you to know the situation, right? If you think, coming back to Nehemiah, at this time, first he heard the reports, right? The situation in Jerusalem wasn't very good. Now at his time, the temple was already built, but then the wall was breached, right? So he was the first one. I mean, he really, when he actually heard about the report, he fell on his knees and he just prayed, right? But then he also did, right? Of course, he reached out to the emperor, I mean, the king at that time. And then, you know, he went back to examine the situation. So this is kind of the thing that we, you know, saints, we need to be in our daily practice. Of course, we need to enjoy the church life. Actually, if we consider the fact that we can enjoy the church life is not just come by itself, right? There must be a group of saints who are praying, who are actually building the wall for us, right? Today we can be here meeting, right, in a peaceful situation, we can enjoy the church life. We have our home meeting, we have this meeting, that meeting, we can all come. There's actually saints who are laboring, who are actually building the walls so that we can all enjoy, right? Imagine like all these kind of you know, we don't have this meeting, or the meeting's kind of getting distracted, how much we would suffer, right, in a church life. So saints, we should not take these as granted, right? We should all really rise up. You know, first we, you know, our family, we need to really build a wall, right? The spiritual wall around our family, right? Because sometimes we may sense, as a husband, we may actually sense our children or our wife may be under attack, right? You know, same thing for wife, right? You know, today, what does Satan would attack? He attack us from all kinds of, right? All kind of things, right? One is the world. Actually, here it also mentioned different teachings in the church, right? But today we're blessed, right? In the recovery, we have the healthy teaching. But we need to really. It's not saying that we have the healthy teaching that is enough, right? First, we need to enter into such teaching, right? If we're not open to the teaching, if we're not open to the Word, we have so much riches, but we need to enter into these riches. These riches, these speaking will really protect us, right? But we need to enter it, right? So, I mean, today it's the Satan actually attacks from all angles, right? You know, I think a lot of times they actually attacks us from this, right? When you open it up, I mean, you don't really need to, things just push to you, right? You don't even need to go actively searching for it. So we really need to, you know, raise our awareness and be so alert. You know, I think really the practice of keeping in, you know, us to be daily in His Word, to be in the prayer, this really protects us. And not only for ourselves, we also need to really pray for our brothers and sisters. We need to really watch, right? Just like Nehemiah, you know, the ones near us, right? Who's not meeting here, right? You know, what about in our home meeting or right? We need to really not just, you know, we enjoy ourselves just like Jerry, you know, shared. You know, really watch out for the saints, right? Some saints, you know, in the meeting, are they really enjoying, right? You know, or what they're actually speaking, right? You know, in their speaking, are they revealing something that they're lacking? Maybe there's a need, right? So, saints, we really need to raise that kind of awareness. You know, first, of course, we need to pray to the Lord. How we should cooperate, how we should, right, you know, in terms of shepherding and, right, those kind of things. How can we really be one with the Lord to shepherd according to God? So all of these, saints, I feel like this message is really, you can say it's a wake-up call. It's also a call to mobilize the reserves. We're all the Lord's army, right? We're all reserved. You know, you know, during our daily life, we first need to get trained, right? Be trained in His Word. But then when there's a need, we can actually be, you know, come and really answer the call. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I was very touched by this week's message and also brothers and sisters sharing. I think in the message, I was very touched by Nehemiah, this person, his proper aggressiveness. I think that, you know, I'm assuming that all of us, we are sitting here, we are all in the church life for a while. But I think that, you know, sometimes we lose the heart the fresh heart to serve the Lord. And so by reading Nehemiah again, I think it really reminds me and also, you know, encourages me that we really need to, like Brother shared, you know, get into the Word and also have the proper aggressiveness and the burden. So from Nehemiah 1, if we read the chapter again, I think that Brother Minjing mentioned that, you know, Nehemiah heard the report from one of his brothers, right? Nehemiah was in the capital, and then he heard the stories from Jerusalem. And then he found out that, the wall was broken, right? And then I was very touched by verse 4. It says that, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for some days. It's not just a few seconds or, you know, like one day, 24 hours. It's for some days. And then, you know, he praised the Lord, and then he fasted. And then he did one thing. He quoted God's own word. So I think that, you know, when brothers and sisters mention about, you know, God's teaching, Kyle also mentioned about this. I think that sometimes our prayer is like, Lord, have mercy on us. And then you know what happened to me, A, B, C, D, E, this and that. But I think that Nehemiah, he really had the burden. And he quoted God's word. And he prayed back to God. So I think that right now, you know, we are talking about protection. We are talking about a wall. But without understanding God's teaching, I think, you know, we really don't have the way to move on. And I remember before the summer training, I asked Kyle, I said, what is the topic this year? And I said that what book we are on this time. And he said, oh, you did not pay attention. We are done with all the books. I said, what? Really? We are done with all the books? And for like 25 or like 30 years, I think this is a really great project. And then I asked Kyle, I said, then what's next? And he said, I don't know. Then we have to hear about the burden. I was like, wow, this is really a big thing. And then we have to ask ourselves, are we also part of this? Are we also part of the move? Like, do we really get into this word? And then when I saw the outlines of the training, I was like, praise the Lord. You know, this is really an overview, but this is also a beginning. I think that, you know, in the past 20 or 30 years, brothers, you know, they had like so much burden to go through every book. But now it's time for us to apply this to our daily living. And also to preach. And, you know, this past week, I was in a job training, the whole week, and it was very tiring. But I want to share that even in the world now, they tell you, you know, you don't have to do anything. You just follow the manual. You just repeat, and you just memorize it. And I was like, excuse me. I studied for so long. I want to have my own, you know, innovation, my own words. But they just tell you, you know, if you follow this, this is evidence-based. This is going to work. And I think that now we have so many materials. But sorry to say, sometimes we just say, oh, you know, this is high-peak truth. People would not get it. We really should lower our standard. We really should, you know, do this or do that. But actually, I think that even the world now is saying that you just follow the manual, then why not we can, you know, we want to say we cannot follow this, or we don't understand, or we really cannot do it. We really can do it. I think as long as we have the heart, as long as we pray to the Lord, I think we have the way.
Amen. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 1. Records where Nehemiah received the report that the state of the children of Israel was exceedingly bad, and that they were in reproach, and that the walls of the city of Jerusalem were destroyed, and its gates were burned with fire. And upon hearing this report, Nehemiah's reaction there in verse 4 says that he sat down and he wept and he mourned. And it says that he fasted and prayed. When we see Nehemiah's reaction, it showed us that he was full of feeling for the sake of the walls of Jerusalem and the condition of the city. Because in his consciousness, he knew that if the walls of the city of Jerusalem were destroyed and its gates were burned, that God's heart and his purpose cannot be satisfied. Because in order for God's purpose to be fulfilled in his dispensation, there had to be the good land with a city wherein there was a temple. And so because he saw the condition of God's people was exceedingly bad, being that his heart was one with the Lord's, he was full of mourning. This picture is full of significance for us, especially as we use this term, the Lord's recovery. Because in principle, what Nehemiah, in his dispensation, what they were faced with, in spiritual principle, is the same thing that we are facing today. That is, the church has fallen into a condition of degradation. Not only did God's house lie in waste, but also the walls surrounding that house have been destroyed. So when we see someone like Nehemiah, whose heart is full of consideration, even mourning and grief for this situation, I feel even we ask ourselves, what is our consideration for the condition, the situation of God's house and of his city? Of course, in spiritual type, we know this is referring to the church, both as the building of God and as the kingdom of God. What is the condition of the church? In this dispensation, to be one whose heart is the same as the Lord's, we too, when we look at the condition of the church, we also would be full of feeling. Because we knew that not only did God desire to have a house where his people can come together to enjoy, to worship, but he also needed to have a wall of protection around this house. And without this wall of protection, this house is in danger. Because around this house, there's a multitude of enemies that will come to rise up against the house. Of course, in Nehemiah's time, those were the physical nations that surrounded God's people that wanted to come up and rise against the house as God's testimony. But in this day, God's enemy is hidden and working in the spiritual realm. But in the same way, his enemy comes to rise up against the church. And that enemy is Satan. As it's mentioned in the message, it was brought out four aspects, four items in which the church is attacked. It mentioned those who spoke different things, even those who spoke heresy. It mentions those who are sectarian or factious, those who cause divisions, and those who have a sense of ambition or hidden pride. That is not speaking to someone on the outside, but rather that is speaking even within the church, that some of these things may enter in to attack the church. And at the root of all of these things, there is one crucial spiritual element, which is that all of these things and these ones do what? They bring death into the church. Amen. We knew that the Lord said in Matthew 16 that I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. that indicates that there indeed is an attack against the church from Hades, yet Hades will not prevail. It means that Hades rises up to attack the church. Hades, we knew, is the holding place of the dead and signifies death. So in this age, the enemies are not the physical ones on the outside, but rather it is Satan as God's enemy who rises up to dispense death into the church. And this is a terrible condition. So why is there a need of the wall in the New Testament age? There is a need of the wall to prevent the enemy's sneaking attacks that hinder the dispensing of life and that inject death into the church. So if there is no wall, then Satan will come in a hidden way, even in a sneaky way, rising up to speak different things, rising up to cause sects and factions to form,
Amen.
Rising up to cause divisions, and even rising up within our being through our sense of pride to cause damage to the church by injecting death into the church. So for this purpose, even as in Nehemiah's day, each member has the responsibility, even the duty, to build up what? To build up his portion of the wall. Satan will not walk in through the meeting hall and speak things of death in the meeting. How does Satan inject death into the meeting, even into the church? He did that through our being. He came in through the opening, the breaches that is in our being.
Amen.
And so if we did not exercise to experience Christ, not only as our life, but also as our head, we will have no separation within our being. And so easily, even without our consciousness, God's enemy may rise up through this breach within our being, very sadly, to speak things of death, even to minister things of death. We do not desire this situation. So in order for the Lord to preserve the church as his testimony and house in the realm of life, we had to exercise to build the wall,
Amen.
Which is to experience Christ as our head.
Amen.
Amen.
This is much more strict than to experience Christ as our life. And it is only the strictness of experiencing Christ as our head that will separate and that will preserve us in our being so that all the holes are patched, so that the enemy cannot rise up, whether that's in our speaking, whether that's in our service, even in the way that we interact with the saints. If we are faithful to the Lord in this way to take him as our head, we will reject all of these things so the enemy cannot rise up to inject death into the church.
Amen.
So at this point we saw how crucial it is that we, as Nehemiah did with his heart, take into our spiritual exercise day by day, even in our hidden living, to recognize Christ as our head. So that whether that deals with our speaking, whether that deals with the way that we serve in the church, we would have a firm sense and consciousness within us that, Lord, you are my head.
Amen.
If this is not from you, even if it's good, even if it's scriptural, even if I think this may be helpful to the saints,
Amen.
But Lord, you are my head. If we had this kind of exercise, the enemy has no chance within our fallen being to come out to hurt the church with death.
Amen.
So when we experience Christ in our as our head, with his limiting preservation and separation, we will become that one who participates in the building of the wall, so that the church will be preserved in life and saved from all the attacks of death.
Amen.
Do you have time for another one or two? My sister Beatrice. Much has been said. So basically, we enjoy all the sharing. Now, this message really is very deep and profound, and you know, brings not only Nehemiah, but brings Esdras and Nehemiah, you know, in the Old Testament, to really to build this church and the kingdom. New Testament, we have Paul, right? Paul, who was not at all King Agrippa, I haven't been disobedient to the heavenly vision. So this vision is not that simple to see. Like it, you know, it's not that easy, because we see the house. You know, we are the house of God. We are the life and nature of God. Right? We enjoy. We have a good time with the Lord. But what the message says, you know, the house, in the house the life flourish. But in the city, the Lord as the King reigns. You know, and like the brother says, you know, we need this wall for protection. And each of us, we should actually build our own wall. Then when we build our own wall, then we can join together all the walls. And then the church will be protected, the house will be protected, right? However, like in Genesis, there was no walls, that's why the Satan taken and deceived man. In Revelation 22, there was the city, right? And there is no temple. And at the end, there is no temple, it's going to be the city, the kingdom of God, right? And the New Jerusalem. So, really, this message should actually remind us that we're not only the house of God, we are all also under the head of Christ. And as He our head, He should actually see that there is authority here. See, many of us don't like to, you know, we enjoy the life, but we don't like to be under authority. Authority is order. See, there is a line in the church, in the body, and there is authority here. If we can submit to the authority of either the elders or the leaders or the brothers, we cannot submit to the head of the authority. So we need to really, and this is what the enemy injects, like brother was saying, the enemy injects a lot of things into the church. You know, it could be a brother once, he said, men love his ego because I'm talking to myself too, that we love our soul, right? And the only way we can see this vision of the wall of the city is only when we see the glory of God. When we see the glory of God, then we can see the city. This is God's economy, God's purpose. So this message is so wonderful that really show us that we can not only submit to the Lord as our life, but also to the Lord as our King, as our head. And for that reason, we need to be under the authority of the head. Now, it doesn't mean we have to be under the authority of the man, or these brothers tell me what to do, these brothers shouldn't tell me what to do, I shouldn't, you know. Because sometimes we are, like I said, there are many things, four things that the brother mentioned. The wrong teachings. And another thing is division. Another thing is ambitious. We are very ambitious. As brother, I think Brother Lee says, if we are not ambitious, we're not humans, right? So we are all ambitious, right?
We are ambitious with our children. You know, we want our children. If they're not ambitious, we'll not accomplish things. But one thing we had to do is not to bring our ambition here to the church, because that's what damaged the building of the body of Christ. So we really need to be aware of this, the head and his authority. You know, and for that we need to exercise our spirit. We need to let the Lord work in us, saturate our being, and most of all, to submit our under his authority as the head. So I really appreciate this message and all the sharing, because it really opened my eyes, the eyes of my heart, to see that there is an authority. He's our head, and we need to submit to the order of the body of Christ. As Paul mentioned, you know, there is an order, and we need to submit to that order of the body of Christ. Otherwise, we can't even submit to the head, which is Christ himself. Praise the Lord for this message. Amen.
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 As we are reading the Bible, we are reading the written word. The written word is a physical realm. But as we are reading it, it's like we are seeing a scenery playing before our eye. And as our eye interpreted the scenery into our mind, then we start to realizing something. Saints, when we read the Old Testament, particularly, is you are seeing the scenery. The scenery is telling us something related to us. As Tyler just read a portion of the word, I believe this week you probably read it already. Have you seen something in the scenery that related to you and me? Have you wept? Have you mourned? It's hard to share something when it's very heavy. In a sense, you don't want to hurt the brother and sister. But in a sense, you also need to be faithful to the Lord. I need to ask the Lord, cover me. We already heard, we already knew about God's economy as revealed to us in the Bible. We, as the chosen one, we are here for His goal and His economy. But don't forget, God still has His enemy. Have you forget about it? That's why the warning, keep repeating to us. This word concerning the wall is not this week, actually. A few weeks ago, we heard it already. Amen. And I asked the saints, do you have a wall? Do we have a wall? Remember that? I asked you and asked myself, what is this purpose of this partition wall? Saints, look at this partition wall. What is the purpose for the partition wall there? Separation from what? Disturbance, right?
Amen.
When that disturbance happened, who got suffered? All of us got suffered.
Oh, yeah.
And who got God's speaking, God's presence got suffered. do you realize in our meeting there's a flow?
Amen.
There's a God's presence here.
Amen.
In our flow in the meeting. Whose responsibility to keep the flow from the attack? The protection is from us.
Amen.
Keeping the attack from what? From the evil one. Now, Tyler mentioned about it's very good. The evil one today is not from outside. From where? From me. I could be the one becoming Satan. And I could be the one open the gate of Hades to flush out what? Satan's attack has two categories. One is to bring the mixture to contaminate it. The contamination caused the entire flock into what? Into a situation the Lord has given them up. The other attack is even subtle, spiritual death. It is called spiritual, but it's a death. Why? Because the Hades is the source of death. When it passes through us, it can bring in that death. Let me give you an example. Even in today's Lord's Table meeting. Saints, we all have to learn. We all have to learn.
Amen.
Learn what? Safeguard it every gathering.
Amen.
That we are gathered together. Particularly in the Lord's Table meeting. It's your responsibility, my responsibility. There's a flow in this meeting, starting from singing a hymn. Have you ever sensed there's a flow in the singing the hymn?
Amen.
Have you? And what is you and me's responsibility? Follow the flow. Not to cut off the flow. Therefore, you and I must very much exercise. When I call a hymn, very much care for the flow. The flow now is talking about what? God's complete salvation.
Amen.
I should what? Strengthen the God's complete salvation. Not to what? Not to cut it off. Start another one. The moment you and I cut off that flow, who suffer? Everyone suffer. Everyone's spirit got what? Got cut off from that flow. If the flow got cut off, dispensing stopped. And if there's no mercy of the Lord, grace of the Lord, pretty much the remainder of the meeting finished. Done. We, the serving one, must try so hard in the spirit to pray, Lord, have mercy on us. What shall we do? What should I do? Saying, can you get it what I just said?
Amen.
I hope we all learn that. We already separate our time.
Amen.
To be kept in the meeting, right? All of us must exercise. learn to follow the flow in a meeting.
Amen.
There's a flow, right? We have a hint from my spirit within. There's a flow in our spirit, in your spirit, my spirit, even in a meeting, there's a flow. And just join that flow.
Amen.
Do I have time? Okay.
Yes.
Protection. Don't you have a question ever in your heart? God's my protection. He should protect me. Right? He should protect people of Israel. Why you spend so much effort and to bring them out and you don't protect them? Don't you have that question? Don't you be puzzled by that? Huh? Yes. He is almighty. Yes. He can protect us. Yes. Many times. He won't do anything. Unless we rise up. Unless there's a person, Nehemiah. Did you see that? He says, unless you emanate. Right? Tyler. Christine, right? Rise up. To what? Build up the wall. Who built the wall? I have to build a wall. Now, we are not talking about physical wall, okay? Where is this invisible wall? Where? Do you know today our problem is, saints? We have no wall within us. Your daily living, my daily living, very often is wide open. There's no wall being built to shelter, to filter, to separate it from what? From something coming into my mind. Did you see the dangers? Why we need to pray for parents? Parents supposed to be the wall as a protection to their children. But the parents, no protection. Parents receive everything into their mind. When parents got contaminated, do you think there will be a protection to their children? Saints, do you realize there's a fight here?
Amen.
This devil, evil one, so subtle. So subtle. Bringing mixture, bringing the death, and causing us to paralyze. I hope at least today you will see a little bit the protection rely on us, rely on you, rely on me, talking about the proper order. Do you know why we need a proper order? Look at your physical body. When your physical body don't have proper order, what will happen?
Sickness.
Chaotic. Satan's tactic, bringing the chaos into body life. and causing the body to be paralyzed and not able to function. That is what is happening. In order for us to be saved, sense, that's why we need to be recovered from what? Having the proper order. And the only head is who?
Christ.
But Christ is invisible. Where is Christ? Invisible Christ seen by visible order. Do you realize that? You and I submitted this invisible by what? Accepting that proper order in the church life.
Amen.
So that body can be what? Keep in order and oneness. You know, when your body don't have any paralyzed part, you don't know this suffering. I suffered for 50, 60 years. I know the frustration, the sighing, this mortal body. One day, I say, I hope I will be glorified.
Amen.
Amen.
But I realize suffering, paralyzed. Why? Because there's a part got damaged, cannot be recovered. He says, may the Lord give you the grace.
Amen.
Especially the young one. Do you know why the Lord say you have to honor your parents? Do you know why? Because your parent is the representative of you, of the one cannot be seen. If you cannot honor your parents, you have no way truly you can honor the Lord. It's through the practicing honor your parents.
Amen.
You honor the Lord. That is the proper order. Saints, I hope this world can keep us, the word that we heard today, keep us.
Amen.
And then every meeting, follow the flow of the meeting.
Amen.
And then we can be kept so the Lord can build up His body.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Lord, thank you. We can learn to follow the Spirit.
Amen.
We can learn in the meetings.
Amen.
We can especially learn in our daily life.
Amen.
To follow the Spirit.
Amen.
Know the order in the body.
Amen.
This is to be under the authority of your headship.
Amen.
Thank you that we have a body.
Amen.
There's a physical realm.
Amen.
That we live in.
Amen.
There's an order in the church.
Amen.
It's physical and mystical.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord, for your speaking.
Amen.
Lord, we give it this week to you.
Amen.
Lord, continue building the wall for us.
Amen.
Lord, that we can be joined together.
Amen.
For protection of your kingdom.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for everything you have done.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for your love and mercy.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you for speaking today, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And keep us under your headship.
Amen.
Lord, it is your desire to everything to be under one head.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, really, that we do in our daily living, in our church life, we learn how to honor the headship.
Amen.
Lord, amen. Lord, really, to build up the kingdom.
Amen.
To safeguard your building.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Dear brother and sister, today is our responsibility to provide a cleanup service. The arrangement is the following. Today, P13 is more things here. So P13 is responsibility to Wakiman Street Hall, including the hallway and main entrance. So we need five volunteers to support the Wakiman. So please raise your hand.
P13.
One, yeah, five people. One, two, three.
From P13.
13.
Okay.
So, what a job. Yeah, five people. Okay, thank you. And P Tao is to clean up the bathroom and reception arrangement and water in the flower. P14 is to clean up the children's bathroom and the children's room and the children's kitchen. So P14 today's few things here. So feel free any things can support the, especially for the children's the children kitchen multi-floor and the children bathroom. It's all that's there. Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Amen.
So maybe those who don't have a group,
can support
maybe,
P14.
Maybe can help P14.
Yeah, I will help P14. Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Bible's always ready to be read.
They didn't have the outline though.
Why are you looking for you?
I
don't know.
Reading the whole thing. How much work did that take?